You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, God and Father, we thank you for your word. Help us in understanding that we might be able to have the benefit and the awesome value of your word and your working and your presence. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Keep in mind, as we have studied and are studying, keep in mind that God, in his wonderful grace, has created each one of us. God has created us. That's God's design, God's wonderful purpose, to go and create us in his image and likeness. Like no angel, like no animal, we're special. Now, and how special are we? Well, God, before the foundation of the world, as you know, in his wonderful person, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they determined that the Lamb of God, Christ born in Bethlehem of Judea, would take away the sin of the world. So of all the things that are there, there's angels, the good and the bad, awesome angels, seraphim and cherubim, etc. Awesome creatures, awesome. But it isn't about them. And then you created the heavens and the earth, and you threw out the stars, just like that. And the galaxies, the 2 trillion of them or whatever, are in the process. And you did that. That is beyond our capacity to understand that distance, that many. A trillion. Wow. Now, what is important of all the things? God, you would go to the cross and die, being born in Bethlehem of Judea. You were born in the image of Adam by way of the Virgin Mary. And God, you are born just like us, with flesh and blood. Now, you did that. That's right. You did it. Now, having said that, and reminding ourselves about that, so the most important thing in your mind, God, if we could ever say that, is our wonderful relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel is important. The kingdom is important. All of those things are very, very awesomely. And the new heavens and a new earth, they're important. But God, when it's all done, no one and nothing is as important as our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, the Son of Man, the Son of God, becoming flesh and blood and dying on the cross. And therefore, we in this age of grace have a superior, in a good, healthy, holy, heavenly way, advantage. Because we have been given the privilege of being special above all specialness. Of everything and everyone in the face of the earth. No one has the privilege. No one will ever have it except you in this church age. That's awesome. Now you need that. You need to have that in your head, because John chapter 15, we share together, that the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to make sure you understand the unique relationship that we have to Him as the vine and the branch, as the head and the body, God, we're to have such a relationship to you that is out of this world. And I need to understand that. I need to understand the awesomeness of that. So that what? I begin to appreciate it. Wow. Now, therefore, we share together in all of these things, that as we abide in the Lord Jesus, and we share together all of that, think at chapter 15, verse 4, the first three words, abide in me, and we shared all of that is repeated all the way through 14 and 15, etc., etc. Now, so therefore, we have this relationship is to have a unique evidence to it. The relationship is to evidence your wonderful person. Now, God, how can we know the invisible, infinite God that cannot, everything is in the middle of you, as we've shared? So how can we possibly know that? Well, you're given visibility. How so? Not with the angels. No. Not with the heavens and the earth. No. No. Heavens declare the glory of God. That's true. Wow. No, you've given it with humans. You've given it in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've given to make your wonderful invisibleness visible. Wow. So God, here we are, and you're telling the disciples, you're telling them for us, on behalf of the church, the age of grace, you're telling them to have a unique relationship to you as the branch and the vine. That's right. Now, and what's it going to do? Well, a branch rightly connected to the vine is going to produce much fruit. And fruit is the evidence that the branch is connected to the vine. How do we know there's a vine? By way of the fruit. How do we know there's a branch connected to the vine by way of the attachment, the vine and the branch, the relationship, God and man, God in man, a unique relationship. And that relationship is to show itself in a most wonderful way. That's what it is all about. Now, in the process, that relationship needs to be understood. And we share together in verse 7, of chapter 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And we share that, ask and will, both have the word desire, both are the act of volition, and they have to do with a decision. A person makes a decision. I desire, I ask, what do you mean? I desire, I will. What do you will? I will, I have a will, I am, I will, I ought. I choose to desire you, God. And I choose to do so. I have a right to say no to you. I have a right to be independent of you. Or I can look to you. And I'm going to look to you, God. That's what I choose. And if you ask anything according to His will, you're going to do what you're going to do. That's right. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, this abiding fruitfulness, God, and as we abide, you're going to keep doing it. Now, so in the abiding, you're going to help us understand when we say the branch abides in the vine, that makes for a relationship and produces life, fruit, the evidence of the relationship. So now, so when we came to, in verse 8, and just read it, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, and you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. So, God, we're going to go, we're to go and abide, we're to abide in your love. So we're to find, remember the word abide, to dwell, to rest, to continue, to find ourselves at home. We're to abide in your love. So it isn't a question of our love. It's a question of your love, God. So here we are, God, and you are telling us to abide in your love. Now we share together that love in verse 9, as the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Now, so God, we're going to abide in the love, and that love is going to be characterized by who? By you, God. It's your love. We're to abide in God's love. That's what we're to do. We're to rest in that. We're to abide in that. We're to find our home in that. We're to dwell in that and rest in that and continue in that to do so. And that's what it says in verse 9, continue in my love. The word continue is the word abide again. So we're going to go and abide in my love. So we're going to find our home in your love so that you're loving us. And we share together, that is a love, the Father's love. And when we spoke of love, we reminded ourselves that that has to do, God is love. So love isn't something you hand out like a cookie or something. No, it isn't like that. Love is a person. Love. And God's person. God is love. God loves us. God wants to be God. Love gives the person. Love gives the person to a person. The person receives the love of the person in order to know the person who is loving. So the person who is loving is God. What's the purpose? For God to be God to us. That's it. Now, that's a wonderful thing. And all other love is our word. We use it, it's as we shared last time. We use it. Now, and we need to go and abide in that love. And we're to abide and to keep, verse 10, and keep my commandments, keep my word. So we're going to go and keep the word carefully, to take heed, to give heed to take keep possession of, to give heed to the commandments, to hold, to have, to house God's word. Now, God, what are you going to do? Well, as I keep my Father's word, I honor my Father. That's what I do. I honor my Father's word. Now, and in the process of honoring your wonderful word, which is God's word, and we're to continue as you did. Now, what did you do in verse 10? If you keep my commandments, even as I have kept the end of verse 10, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So, God, here we are looking, and you are being loved by the Father in a unique and wonderful way. So, God, when you tell us in verse 9, the end, to continue to keep on abiding in your wonderful love, to keep on abiding in your wonderful person, you're telling us what? To keep on abiding in the Father's love. That's what you're doing. Because it isn't my love. It's God's wonderful love in the person of Jesus Christ that is made possible to us, for us as humans, to have above all other, everything in creation, us humans, in the person of Jesus Christ, to have a unique relationship to you. And that love existed before we ever created. We were created. We shared that. That love is existent. And when we were created, it was your wonderful purpose and plan that you have in mind when you created us and gave us a physical body. And you gave us a physical body to live in. And you did that. And you loved us. That's why we were born. Why were we born? Because you love us. You died for us. We haven't even been born. That's right. But when you were born, I already had died for you. I already had loved you. I already had cared. So God, here we are as humans on planet Earth, over 7 billion of us and so. And here we are, oblivious, generally, to your person, to your love. We have no idea about God. We don't. You're an awesome personal God. I am. Now, so God, but when we come and understand our Lord died on the cross to make possible a unique relationship to you, so that we could abide as vine and branch in our relationship to you, as we abide in that, what are we doing? We're to discover and experience the love. You created us for yourself, and you died to make that existing experience possible, so that we could have a relationship to you, not to the Zeus and all the gods of the ancient world that were made up by way of back to Genesis 11 and the demons and all of that. No, all of that, the world has their gods, and we share together in these days, all those gods are gone. You won't find Zeus anywhere. You won't find him now. It isn't important anymore. No, we have worked through the gods that don't exist anyway, and all the nations that had them. And now, but here we are, God working out and leading into the Antichrist, etc., to come. Now, so here we are, God, you're loving us. So we'd understand you love us. That's right. And what are you telling us to do? To find our home, to abide, to dwell in the fact that you love us. Of all the different things in the world, the people, one of the things we wish for and long for, we don't want to be hated, we want to be wanted, we want to fit in. That's why we have all the different things we do in order to fit in. That's why we have tattoos, that's why we have hair, that's why we have all the different things. Why? Pay attention to me. What can I do to get you to pay attention to me? Pay attention to me, you see? Pay attention. Who I am. That's what we're doing. That's our world. And it's being amplified and exercised in a more and more aggressive way. That's what we want, God, to be that. Because we want something. That's because, God, we've left you out. And therefore, we are bankrupt. And in our independency, we are bankrupt. And we don't have any. So all we can do is trust on human love. And whatever human love is, depends on the person, place, and all these different things. And it's only the person. Love is no more than what the person understands it to be. You can't communicate. You can communicate something, but you can't make it. Only God, who made you and made us, can we have this relationship. It's an awesome relationship. And God said, I want you to understand that I am your God, your Savior, and I love you. Morning, noon, and night, 7 days a week. So when you come to know me as your Savior, you discover this. And up till then, I loved you. That's why I died on the cross. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, God, that's what you did. But if we don't, do you still love us? I do. And we share together. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, God, in all of your attributes of judgment and righteousness and all of these things, what is love going to do? Love is the only thing that love can do. Since you won't let God save you, then you'll have to stay unsaved. If you won't let God deliver you from death, then you will abide in death forever. And it means what? An absence of who I am, of who you are. Absence of God in the human life, I should say. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, and keep in mind, then in the process, this love has to work through itself in and for us and about us. Now, over to Matthew chapter 22. And God, just to remind us, God gave the law, remember, and the law, Israel at Mount Sinai, Exodus 19, could have just said, thank God for the promise to Abraham, and that they could believe God and be the nation, but they didn't do it. They just know, we're going to do what we're going to do, God. Irregardless, if we like your plan, we'll keep it, otherwise we won't. So here we are looking, and the law. Why was the law given? Because they had failed to understand the love of God. And the law is given in order to know the love of God, in order to know the life of God. Now, how are you going to know the life of God? Not by the law. The law condemns you. But the love of God saves you. Now, God, what did you do? So the Ten Commandments, to sum up as you know them, chapter 22 and in verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. God is first, foremost, verse 39. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the last five, six, seven, eight commandments. Honor thy father and mother, etc. Now, so in there, God, on these, verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, so God, how are we going to go to the rest of your admonition to love others? Well, because when my love is dominating and controlling you, you're abiding in my love. What do I know when I abide in your love? I'm at home in your love. I'm resting in your love. We're in his presence, in his love. What do I know? God, you died for every human being on the face of the earth. That's what you did. You loved them and died for them before they were ever created. Now, God, that's what it is. So, God, if I'm going to let you love me, obviously, that you're going to what? Love everybody else. That doesn't mean we agree with everyone else that everyone's doing good. They aren't. But you understand that God is able to save a whosoever that would believe. At work, at home, in your neighborhood, in your house, God's able to save them. And you know this. You know this in your heart. And that's what you're doing. Love your neighbor as thyself. That's what you're going to do. So it isn't something you're finding, I don't know what's lovable. No, it isn't a question about what you have or what I have. It's what God has. God died for them. And he in you is loving. That's what he's loving. And you the fruit of the Spirit, think of Galatians 5 and 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Here's the love. God, that's what you're going to do. So it isn't something we drum up or work up to or feel. No, it's something that is. To the worst, lousiest, whatever. If they're a whosoever, and they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved. No matter who. And God, you can do that. That's right. So I want to know that. And in the process, one other thing while we're here in Matthew, over to chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, keeping up in mind, God, I want to understand, so not asking, God isn't asking things that can't be done or can't be worked out. You know all those different things we've done, 1 Peter and all of that. Be ye holy for what? I am holy. That's not a weird thing. How can you be related to God and not be holy? You couldn't possibly be saved unless you were sanctified and holy. God doesn't ask something out of you that he doesn't give you. Think of Matthew 5. You don't have to turn there. In Matthew 5. Be perfect. Perfect. As your heavenly Father is perfect. How can that be? Because God is perfect. God makes you. It's God in you, loving you, making all this happen. So it isn't you trying to drum it up and get it out of your old nature, because it isn't going to come. It isn't going to come out of there. You're going to have to look to God. So we don't have to hunt and fish and feel bad and guilty and we give up on everything and say, what's the use, etc. No, that's because we're trusting ourselves. Now, Matthew chapter 10, reminding ourselves, if I can, in verse 36. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Remember now, verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance, division, against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Why? Because I came to save you. And all relationships, like it or not, all relationships are coming to an end. True? When you put the person in the ground, the body, carcass, and they become dust, you can name their job, family, friends, their bank account. It's all over. There is no more relationship. And there never was one to be meant to stay here. No, God said the only relationship because of sin is the one you have to me as the vine and the branch. So you need to abide in my love. And, verse 37. He that loveth father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross, up his cross, take not his cross, and followeth after me, is not worthy of me. So God, there is no competition. How can a human, mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, how can they compete when they're only individuals, they're all separate, and they all go back to the dust of the ground? How can they dare compete? And with God, he's the God that created us and died for us and loves us. And we belong to him forever in heaven or hell. We're going to belong to him. There's no way around it. So God, it's an awesome thing that you love us. And we ought to abide in that love. And we ought to understand that love so that we don't make it, there's no competition. None whatsoever. It's our deliberate choice. And remember, we share together the opponents of that. If you read in John, you don't have to turn there, John and chapter 3 in that. Men love darkness what? Men love darkness rather than light. They don't want to know light. Now, when does darkness become light? When does darkness become light? When does evil become good? When does that happen? It doesn't. It doesn't. The only way you can turn off darkness is by turning on the light. And the light dispels darkness just by one switch. God, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 John 1:5, he is light and in him is no darkness. When I receive the Lord as my Savior, he brings light into my darkness. He brings life into my death. He brings light to my being, my light, my life, my darkness. And he gives it to free me from darkness. In fact, you know, without turning there in Colossians, the great prayer of God for you to understand, for me to understand. God has wonderfully what? When you came to know the Lord as your Savior and you understood he loved you and died on the cross for you, he transfers you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son in a moment. And here we are in the room. Ah, but boy, we have a whole different relationship to the unseen world, which is more potent and awesome than anything we can see, touch, taste, or smell. And we belong to that. Wow. Wow. Now God said, let me love you. Let me love you. So now, God, here we are looking, and we don't want to go and love the praise of men like you have in John. They love the praise of men. No, we don't want to do that. And Luke 11, remember, they love positions of prominence and power and privilege. Take notice of me and all of that. And we don't want that. No, that's what people love. That's what they want. They want to have something, but trouble is, it can never give it to us to keep because we can't keep it. Why can't we keep anything? Because in the process of you trying to hold your whole life together, you're going to go and the heart stops beating and it's all over. Now guess what happens to everything you're holding? Guess what happens to everything you're counting on? It's all gone. In one twinkling of an eye, it's all gone. But we're holding on to it. You dummy, don't you understand? Not you guys. Don't you understand? You can't hold on to it. It isn't yours. But I love it. I love Demas having loved this present world. Love the world. Love the world. The love of the Father isn't in you. So I'm going to go and love the world. Hug it. Get job, home, money, wealth, position, everything. You do all of it. Family, friends. So what? And then your heart stops beating, it's all gone. But it never was yours. You could never have it. Because you look for that to love you. And it can't. That kind of love has nothing to give. It can only tell you a deception of anything and everything that's other than God. And all that is other than God is not going to make it. It's not going to last. So God, I need to get that clear in my head. Continue in my love. Whose love? The Father's love. Don't you understand? I am loving the Father. The Father's loving me. The love that I have is God's love. So when I receive the Lord as my Savior, I receive God's love. God the Father's love. When I have God's word, what do I have? The Lord Jesus Christ said, verse 10, I've kept my Father's word. And therefore, I abide in his love. And therefore, God, if I go and receive you as my Savior, and I honor you, and that's why we share together as you turn your Bible, turn the pages of the Bible, you're going to go, and all of it is about, as we shared last time, Revelation 1:8, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He learn of me, Matthew 11, etc. Get your learning from me. All the scriptures about me. So when you hide thy word, think of Matthew chapter, back over to that. Matthew, if you would, and in chapter 15. And in Matthew chapter 15, picking up the thought, in verse 7, if you abide in my words, abide in you. So God, when I have your words, what am I doing? Well, what did the Lord Jesus do? He said he is the Word. That's what he said. He said he's the Word. He said all the scriptures are about me. How can you read the Pentateuch and not read about me? How the prophets, the Psalms, the whole thing. And when you come to Revelation 19, the spirit of prophecy is what? Jesus Christ. What is prophecy? It's God's outworking of his wonderful plan as it pleases him. Now God... So when I hide the word, whose word is it? It's God's word in my heart. If I start off in my thinking, I couldn't even touch that verse because I don't know that part of the Bible may be true and this part may be true. I don't know about that or true. I don't believe that part. I don't know. I don't understand that part. You just cut yourself out. How can the word of God abide in you when you've already tried to take it apart without even understanding it? Now, how can it abide? And if the word doesn't abide, the Lord Jesus said his word, God the Father's word, everything I say, everything I do, is I represent the Father. So God, what are you going to do? And when I do so, I abide in the love of God. So I'm letting the love of God do an awesome work. And what? And I'm reading. I love you. I love you. Wow, God says. So I have his word. And I've shared 1,000 times with us to remind us, myself. What? It isn't a question of understanding it. All? You can't. You have to grow. Do you know quantum mechanics and Laplace transforms and all of those mathematical stuff, that stuff, all of those things? You didn't get that in the first grade. You didn't get that in high school. You have to keep going. And you can't have all of the wonderful truths. And you can't say, well, I'm saved now, I should understand everything. No, you should believe God understands it. And you rest in God's belief. That's what you're doing. And then you have to grow to learn it. Learn it. Time, study. That's how you absorb it. And it keeps coming clearer, because you keep got it. The word finds a home in your heart. And it just keeps developing because I'm resting on it, relying on it. And God just keeps using it. For what? For understanding. That's what it's for. And we believe it. So God, as the Lord Jesus, his verse 10, kept his Father's word and abode in his love. And that's what we're doing. So we're to do it as believers. We abide, verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. So we're going to rest in God's wonderful word and his working. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, just to admit, you're never, say it at least for somebody, you're never out of God's presence. You're never out of God's presence. You're never out of God's love. Now, God may, if you're a believer, then you're going to have a little word, love, and Hebrews 12, you're going to get spanked. And spanking, that's because, do you remember it? I got to turn, hold your finger. No, yeah, go with me over to Hebrews. I got to see if my father really said that. Hebrews 12, picking up, please, in thought. Now, God loves us. Uh-huh. And chapter 12, Hebrews, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son, paddle, unspanking, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So God, if we're going to know your love, we're going to know that you're going to conform us to your image. You're going to cause us to have to change, to think, to develop. That's right. Verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he to whom the father chasteneth not? No, you get your... I never went, and when I did, we did do it in the days before you got arrested. We spanked the kids and all of that. That's what we did. That's what you had to do. You know, nasty kids. You had to stop them. Otherwise, get nastier. Wow. So what do? We did all that. And we did that. And in the process, I didn't go down to the street and find someone to spank. I didn't do that. I could only spank my own. My own. God, you're only going to spank your own. That's right. Otherwise... Verse 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. You're illegitimate. I don't spank people that don't bite. I let the evil people, the world, 7 billion plus, are doing what they do. And they're doing it. I'm looking for my own. Well, I love, and I'm with them. And morning, and noon, and night. I'm loving them. And they want to abide in my love. At work, when everything gets hard, in school, on the bus, in the home, when everything gets messed up, wow. Refrigerator breaks and the washing machine overflows. There it is. Wow. But God loves us. God loves us. And that keeps us. The rest of the world, no. So what are we learning? We're learning no matter what hour of the day, no matter what time, no matter what the situation, the circumstances, the conditions, God's loving us. And what's he going to do? Chapter 12. He's going to do the things that help us. And isn't that what you learn? Of late, I had to do several things. And in the process, without getting sidetracked, I had things, I spilled things. I did, things happened that I tried to fix something and it fell apart. But I did fine. I just had to go down, clean it up. The coffee grounds, you know, the coffee grounds in the dump thing in the machine. And I had it out and I carried the little bag with the coffee grounds. And I went to do something, and it went all over the floor, and all over the floor, over my everything. Wow, wow. And I held it there. I did. I never did anyway. I just got it happens. What's it doing? Remember what you are. And you're learning what? You're learning to rest in who I am. And you're human. Horribly human. Wow. And you got to live with it. And you're letting God love you. And you work through. And pretty soon, in the middle of the night, and in the middle of the work, there's God loving you. And life changes, doesn't it? Life changes. Because God's loving you. Wherever you are. And you wake up to the fact. The world doesn't know. But you know. Now, having said that, over to 1 John. I got sidetracked. Verse 10. Hebrews 12:10. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So therefore, God, if we don't do what you do and love us, how are we ever going to grow up? Where are we going to be if we don't have that discipline? If we don't have that, we're failing. We learn to try to fix things and not do things certain ways, and we learn how to do life differently. In doing it all wrong, we learn how to do it a little better, and that's how we get there. Now, God, if you didn't let that, and you're loving us in the process, that's how you all grew up, isn't it? You all were once very little, and you stumbled around in growing up. And you had to learn and experience, and that's where you are now, with all of that history behind you. And having learned that, you want to take advantage of it. That God, if I hadn't gone through that, where would I be? And God, if you hadn't saved me and had me sit here to be able to expose to your awesome word, where would I be? I'd have a job, a family, but all of it's, I can't hang on to it. Even if I love it, I can't have it. But God, when you love me, then I'm letting you be my God and Savior. And boy, that's a whole different ball game. Over to 1 John. And you will notice, please, 1 John. Chapter 2, picking up, may go directly to verse 3. Hereby do we know that we know him. How is that, if you keep his commandments? He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is what? The love of God. That's what you said, Lord, didn't you? I keep his commandments and abide in his love. Mm-hmm. Verse 5. Whoso keepeth his word in him, verily the love of God is perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So God, that's right. As my Father sent me, so send I you. I'm doing. What am I doing? I'm giving you the privilege that no one else will ever have as a church, as a body, to be able to be as my son, in my son, for my son, for his honor and glory. And that's why you're able to go, and whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to what? I'm going to do it. It isn't just a fancy question. No, not at all. In fact, you remember we shared together in Ephesians 3, 16, 17, 18, 19. The love of God surrounds us. We're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of you, God. We're in the middle of you. And God, what are you going to do? And then the next statement, verse 20. verse 20, what? And do you know what, said God? You're in the middle of me, and I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever, ever ask or think. So therefore, when you ask anything according to my will, I'm going to do it. Because you see, I told you, you couldn't out-ask me or out-talk me in anything. So I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Because you understand my love surrounds you. And I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. And that's why whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to what? I'm going to do it. Because you aren't asking it for you. You're asking my will to be outworked as you travel down the day, hour by hour, minute by minute, and you're looking for my outworking. What do you mean? I'm looking for your love. What do you mean? I'm looking for your word, your will, for you to be God, to be able to show the invisibleness of your uniqueness and your uniqueness, to make visible the invisible God in a frail vessel of dust. That's what it's about. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and help us a little bit in trying to grab hold of all of this. And our Father, we're going to thank you very, very much for just loving us, God. Boy, help us. Thank you, Spirit of God, for bringing us, God, for bringing us God's love, for bringing us yourself, and therefore our Savior and our Father, to know you, our Heavenly Father, to bear much fruit for your honor and your glory. And our God, we thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.